This ancient church has been rescued by God himself. And we've been following their story as we've been witnessing all these incredible miracles the Lord has done for them. We've seen these plagues on Egypt, we've seen him splitting the sea, we've seen food coming from heaven, water in a desert, and last week we had this amazing event where the church came up and met the Lord, had a meal with God in the highest heaven. It is an incredible miracle. And yet, through all of those works, this people keep grumbling, not trusting in the Lord to look after them. And here, in this chapter 32, is one of possibly the worst sin the ancient church ever commits. And to me, it always seems the stupidest because of that image. Because we want to remember, God is currently physically manifested on a mountain next to the camp. There is smoke, there's lightning, there's fire, there's a booming voice. And they had leaders who told them what the Lord looked like and what heaven was like. And yet, they still think this gold idol is more present in this relationship. After Moses had been up on the mountain for 40 days and nights talking with the Lord, the church at the base of the mountain start to grumble again. They wonder, has Moses and the Lord abandoned us? And here's when they do this stupid thing of worshipping this gold idol, this gold calf. We think of all the incredible miracles that the Lord's done, and then they do this. And in fact, at times it seems so funny, so hysterical, you almost think, is this a prank? Is this a joke that they're trying to play? But it isn't. After all they've been through, how could they do this to the Lord? And in particular, what Aaron says and the people say about it, that's such a blatant lie. This calf did nothing. How could they believe that this golden calf saved them? How could they believe such a lie? And of course, it makes actually a little sense once we realize who this bull represents, who it is that they're worshipping. It takes some research, a bit of hopping around, but you'll see what they're doing here is what people who worship a being called Baal, they do that. Then you see, actually, it's called Beelzebub. And we're getting close, and then we see, actually, Beelzebub is the devil. It takes some hopping, but you do see what these Israelites are doing here. It's, again, when I say it, I can't almost believe it, but right next to God, physically present on a mountain next to them, they are doing devil worship. They are worshipping the devil. So it's important to remember that the angel of the Lord is the one who rescued this people. He was leading them and he walked among them. And that's important because the devil tried this again. We might remember in Genesis, one lie got between humanity and the Lord that walked with them. That's how we can guess that this happened, how on earth this came about. And that's why this event is so infamous, actually. The devil is this master at lying, and he loves to separate us from the Lord. And what's so amazing now is he's trying to take credit for the entire Exodus. He is trying, this is this point, he is trying to take the place of Jesus. The Israelites were choosing the devil over Jesus. And history was repeating itself like from Genesis. They listened to the devil instead of the Lord who walked with them. They were following the wrong angel. And it's obvious to see now that the Israelites were doing something so horrendous, because as we saw afterwards, there was immorality and selfishness that just permeated the whole church straight away. But the big question is this: what they did was horrendous. And we have to think, how on earth did they get there? How long had the Israelites been turning away from Jesus? And this is the key that we'll look at as we're closing. Ever since Egypt these people have been rejecting and mistrusting the angel of the Lord, who that was the one who rescued them, that was the one with them, and they've been rejecting him ever since. And so finally that comes to a conclusion. Finally it goes, right, if you're rejecting Jesus, this is the company you're keeping. This is who you're really siding with. So we see it come to this head. And then the last thing I just wanted to cover is, as we're going to our next talk and we're looking at this choice between the devil and Jesus, just to remind us, here it's fairly obvious what the Israelites do, but we need to remind ourselves it begins quite small. Just that little doubt, just that little mistrust, those little acts and thoughts, that's how it begins. And then this is where it ended up.